with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Standard Lumber and Standard Kitchen Studios, and we're talking a little bit of brisket, and we're just wrapping up in the last segment on how to trim it. So let's start right there and finish there, and we'll move on to the seasoning side of this.
Yeah. But, so if you don't want to trim it, thanks, Job. If you don't want to trim it to the point of the deckle and the flat falling apart, you can leave them connected. But then what I would do, and the only reason I'd leave them connected is so that when you smoke that thing, that big fat point end, if you want the slice of brisket that's got the deckle and the flat together,
right?
If you leave it connected, that's going to be a really pretty piece of meat.
Mm-hmm. When it's sliced.
And I'm sure you've been called that before too.
Once or twice. Yeah.
So
not last weekend though.
So otherwise, if you look at, let's say your deckle is on the left side, your point, and your flat goes over to the right. About halfway to those, you'll notice it starts rising up and getting thicker for that point end. And you'll also notice that the grain of the meat's going a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'll do is I'll very often cut the flattest part of that flat right off, regardless of if it's a 90 or a 30-degree angle or what. I'll cut that off, and I'll rub and smoke that separately because that's going to get wrapped a lot faster than that point end will if I'm keeping it.
When you say wrap, that means it's going to come to temperature quicker.
Yeah.
And that's when you're going to wrap it.
I'm
going to
put some foil around it, yeah, or some butcher's paper around it at 150 degrees.
Yeah, and we'll get to the cooking either in this segment or next.
Or next week.
But right, yeah. but
So my point is that sometimes
the
points
on the left
I'll cut
and the flats on the right.
Yes, yeah. Sometimes I'll cut that flat right off of there, and if you're not going to separate those two pieces of meat, that's another really good way to do it. Here's what happens if you don't. If you leave those together and you bring that point up to 150 to wrap it, your flat is already at 170. If
right.
you then wrap it and bring that point up to 195, your flat's at 210.
Right. And
you've trashed it. You've trashed it.
Right.
So
and that might be where I'm at. That might be one of the errors that I make is that that parts of it, to get one part cooked, I'm overcooking the other part.
That's inevitable
if
you don't do what I'm saying.
Right, right.
And I like the fact, I like the thought of separating the deckle from the flat and then remarrying them if you're worried about that look. Otherwise, cut that flat right off of there, cut the end off it, and make it a nice shorter piece of meat but real thick. And now you have one manageable protein muscle that you can deal with. And your temperature and seasoning and all that stuff kind of goes hand in hand. And that little flat, you know, you keep that for, you know, when the people come over that you really don't want to feed. You give that to those people. But when your best friends are over and your great relatives, you know, you have those nice point ends. And
right.
You get to direct traffic.
Because there's more fat in that and there's more flavor in that.
You've got
that thicker
piece.
You've
got that deckle piece with it. And that's.
Right.
That's got that beautiful texture to it. It's a weird, cool meat.
Yep.
So if we're going to season it, to be honest with you, that's up to personal preference. People ask all the time, what's the best? You know, you can't answer that question, honestly. The
right.
best is what you say is the best. What do you like, a heavy garlic? Do you like a heavy paprika? Do you like a Texas style? Do you like just a plain salt and pepper style? I'll tell you can have some of the best brisket in the world with just salt and pepper.
Right.
You don't need to put all this fancy stuff on it.
Right. And you're not cooking it to get a bark on it like you would a pork shoulder.
You're not?
I'm asking.
Oh.
Is there, because
you absolutely are.
The seasoning is quite heavy when you put it to get a bark on a pork butt.
Nope.
But with what you're with the beef, what are you doing?
Sorry. I'm in a different camp. I, matter of fact, I would say that the bark on a brisket is one of the biggest draws to it.
Okay, well, then maybe that's why I don't like mine, right? I mean, I'm serious. I was not hitting it that hard with seasoning because you get most of the bark on a pork butt with a pretty hefty layer of seasoning. It'll
salt
cook down.
Salt and sugar.
Right, salt and sugar. And you know what? I was doing salt and pepper, not any sugar, on my brisket. And I look at some of these recipes that got rubs in them. There's a hint of sugar. They're not loaded with it.
You know, I have an old friend. We had him on the show. His name was Billy Bones. He's from Sanford, Michigan. And he was a legendary barbecue, Memphis and May barbecue guy. He took the Memphis and May Grand Championship two or three times, which is one of the biggest barbecue competitions in the world. And he lived around Midland, Michigan. Just a wonderful man. And he ended up marketing his rubs. His family still sells the rubs. Billy passed away about 5 years ago. We had him on the show.
Sure we did, yep.
On the phone interview anyway, or I recorded at his house. I don't remember. But he makes three different rubs. He also makes a really nice chili seasoning. And I'll tell you who has these is Sobey Meats has all those.
Right.
And I believe R&J's Best Choice Market up in Houghton Lake has them. And I do believe there's other places in the north that are selling. There's a place in Baldwin, right in front of Wolf Lake on M37.
Yeah, it's a little meat market there.
No, it's this propane shop that sells. He's got like the state's largest selection of cast iron wares in the world. State. You would love this place. It's full of lodge equipment. It's full of all kinds of cool cast. I mean, if you're going up north, you have to stop by this place. He sells Billy Bones rubs.
Okay.
So there's a pork, there's a beef, and there's a Grandmaster. I don't care which one. I'm buying one of them.
Okay.
And I've used all of them on anything, and it's just a great blend. I can't hardly tell the difference. But I like buying it because it's Billy's recipe.
Well, yeah.
Sentimental
and
reasons. Why, but it's really good.
That's what I was going to say. Why try to make something when you know that you can buy it and it's all made and it's good?
I'm over with
that. So talk to me about the amount of seasoning that goes on this brisket.
Well, if you talk to Rob Russell.
Cowboy Rob.
He's going to pour a whole bottle on everything he does.
Okay.
When it comes to a butt, I pack it on as fat as I can.
Right.
When it comes to a brisket, I'm going to put a decent amount on, but I'm not going to go nuts with it. I don't want too much salt or sugar on a brisket. Matter of fact, if you use his beef rub, it's low on sugar. That's kind of the best one for brisket. But I'm serious. I can do just sea salt, coarse pepper, and a little onion powder and some paprika and be just totally happy with a brisket.
Yep.
Maybe sprinkle some granulated pure cane on it when I'm done before I throw it in the smoker, but not a whole lot.
Got garlic? Any garlic in there? Or
yeah, it depends on the mood.
I see.
Powder, onion powder or garlic powder or both.
Right.
But paprika is a big one. Salt and pepper is, of course, a must. It doesn't have to get complex.
Right. So you're going to coat this thing pretty heavy with the seasoning that you choose. And there's a lot of these on the internet. We're talking about this Billy Bones seasoning,
my gosh,
too. There's,
yes.
You know, for as many internet sites, there's that many recipes.
There's a ton of them made in Kansas City. Competition teams, you and I met when we were at the Royal, smoking guns. And,
right.
There's hardly any of them that are bad.
Right. Right, but you're going to put it on there pretty liberally.
Yep.
Now, are you putting any oil on there or anything, or just the seasoning?
If it's dried out a little bit because it's been on the counter for a couple hours, yeah, I'm going to throw some garlic EVO on it.
Unlike a steak, I don't need to bring this to room temperature before I put it in the smoker.
No, but chances are it's going to get fairly warm anyway. And that's a good point that will have to do with the next segment and timing. But when you like, if you have a bunch of meat like that and you do throw it on your smoker, it's going to knock that temperature of the smoker down.
Sure.
And that's called a setback. So what some guys do to overcome the setback is they ramp up the temperature to like 350
at the beginning
instead of 275 or 375, anticipating that cold weather front that's coming in.
Right. Well, you open the door and you're going to lose some heat. But anyway, coming up next, we got this brisket about ready to go on the smoker, so we're going to take it that way. Stick with us. We'll be back.